Well, hi, I'm Doug Wolfberg from the law firm of Page, Wolfberg & Worth, and I am happy to talk with Open Airways about some new developments in regards with patient signatures, particularly as it affects documentation and reimbursement. This has been an issue that Medicare and other payers have been cracking down on in the last year or so, and there's a legal requirement that claims be signed before we can go and ask the government to pay us for those services. So one thing that crew members really need to be attentive to, and it seems like there's always never-ending documentation requirements imposed on us as EMTs and paramedics. We've got HIPAA to contend with, and we've got Medicare changes, and now health care reform, and it just seems like it keeps getting piled on us higher and deeper. But one thing that is important is that our organizations be paid for the services that we provide, and that we're fairly compensated for the good work that we do. So one aspect of that's critical is making sure that the patient, if they're physically and mentally capable of signing, sign a what we call an assignment of benefits form or a patient authorization form to allow you to bill for the services. So anytime a patient is physically or mentally capable of signing, Medicare requires that they sign that form. If the patient is physically or mentally incapable, then it's important that the crew member document a specific reason why they're incapable of signing, and not just PUTS, like you might so often see on a patient care report, patient unable to sign. There needs to also be RUTS, the reason the patient is unable to sign. So patient unable to sign because, you know, patient has bilateral upper extremity contractures, or patient is unresponsive, you know, 3 on the GCS, whatever that may be. Whatever the reason is that the patient's incapable of signing needs to be documented. But then the crew needs to go one step further. They need to try to get the signature of an authorized person who can sign for that patient. For example, a legal guardian, a power of attorney, someone who helps take care of that patient, which could be a caregiver, a spouse, a neighbor even. So it's really important that the crew members be attentive to collecting that signature, because anytime they can't get a signature, then whoever does your billing, if it's a billing company or somebody who works in your organization, they're going to have to look at that documentation, get a signature form, put it in the mail, send it out to the patient after the fact, wait till the patient gets their mail, opens their mail, looks at the form, figures out what it is, signs the form, sends it back. And you could be waiting weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months and months, to get that form back and to be able to turn that legitimately billable trip into revenue because of the lack of a patient signature.
So what are good ways to help improve, what are good tools that EMTs can use to get these signatures more often? What are you telling people?
You mean other than like regular beatings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Regular beatings are good. No, the lawyer is kidding, just to clarify. What tools? Well, we've seen some organizations, are you asking how the crews can better get the signatures from the patients, or how the services can better get compliance from the crews?
Both.
Okay, well, let's start with the first one. How can crews better get compliance from patients? I got to tell you, this is a very complex, sophisticated response. Ask. I find that just in my experience, and I spent a lot of time in the field, that most of the time that EMTs or medics don't get a signature is just because they didn't ask. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so many of us in the field have this mentality. I'm a patient caregiver. I'm not an insurance, you know, mm-hmm. person. Well, it's great. You know, in a hospital or a doctor's office, you walk in, a clerk or a secretary or somebody takes your information, asks you to sign the forms. Can I make a copy of your insurance card? Blah, blah, blah. Well, we don't carry around a registration clerk with us in the back of an ambulance. So the EMT or medic, like it or not, it's part of their job responsibility. So they have to ask. And look, some people have said, I don't want to bother my patients with that. Do we really think in this day and age that there's a person who's receiving health care who doesn't understand that it has to be paid for?
There's paperwork involved.
Exactly. So they just need to be a little bit more aggressive. They need to ask. They're never going to get a form signed if they don't ask the patient. Now, Second part of the question, what can services do to increase compliance by their crews? A lot of things. I mean, first of all, is continuous training in service, Con Ed, reinforcement of the importance of that. You know, my late law partner, Jim Page, always used to say that a lot of people in EMS find themselves one paycheck away from homelessness. And how would we like it if we showed up on payday at our employer and we expected to get our paycheck and our employer said, sorry, I know it's payday, I just can't pay you today, come see me in 3 weeks or a month. Well, we wouldn't tolerate that. I think our crew members say the same thing to the organization when, oh, gee, I could have gotten a signature, I just didn't. Well, that's the organization's paycheck. It's the same thing. The organization relies on that. So the organization has to continuously reinforce with crews the importance of doing that. It's got to be part of your documentation quality assurance, just like clinical documentation would be. Some services have even resorted to incentive programs, you know, monetary incentives or bonuses to increase documentation compliance. So there's a variety of ways, but training, continuous reinforcement, QA, all are important tools to, you know, increase the compliance and getting that done.
Well, maybe just helping people understand that we're not just asking you to fill out paperwork for no reason. This isn't arbitrary. You may not see the, you know, the direct result of it, but
sure,
we need it to
yeah,
pay
exactly.
the electricity
I mean,
bill.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, anytime people understand the purpose behind a seemingly mindless requirement, you know, get a signature. Why? Because you need one. Well, yeah, we can do a little bit better than that. You know, we need it because we can't bill without it, and if we can't bill, we don't get paid, and you all lose your job. You know, maybe not that negative, but yeah, that's the idea. Why is it important? Because mm-hmm. it's a requirement for reimbursement, and we don't get paid without it.
Right. Cool. Anything else you'd like to tell
us?
No,
I think that's a pretty succinct summary of what's going on with patient signatures. I hope people find that to be useful, and I hope they always continue to remember to do their documentation thoroughly and accurately, and not just in signatures, but in their clinical documentation. It's something we've emphasized for a long, long time, and we spend a lot of time doing training on that, and there's some model forms, by the way, I should probably point out, on our firm's website. I don't mm-hmm. know if you want me to
sure. what's
give
the,
that information.
What's the website?
It's pwwemslaw.com.
Cool.
And there are free forms that are downloadable in Word version that services can download and customize to put their own services name on and then use for patient signature forms. So there's a model forms library on the website, and we urge everybody to visit that and check it out.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from emsresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.